You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Third and final hour of this Labor Day weekend broadcast is now upon us. I want to thank again Ramsey Paul for being with us in the second hour. And for Keith Alexander for being with us as he always is. But the sort of topic of coin must come up again, ladies and gentlemen. It must, because it's needed. As you know, throughout the year, the current year of 2019, we are celebrating the fact that this is indeed our 15th year on your airwaves. And the sustainability of our work demonstrates our dedication to persevere at a time when steadfast leadership is sorely needed, perhaps now more than ever in the history of the West. Well, with respect to Charles Martel and a couple of others, it's getting pretty dire. I'm going to read a couple of installments from the mailbag here in a moment, but I want you to know that I'm humbled that our example has inspired so many people in our listening audience. But believe me when I tell you that you are the anchor that steadies us. And for a decade and a half now, we have worked in cooperation with our family of listeners to garner achievements that have been unmatched by our peers. And we're showing no signs of slowing down, but of course, neither of those who hate us. Certainly that's true. We've talked about some of our attacks earlier in the show tonight during the first hour, some of the attacks in the media that have been levied in recent days, including another attack from the religious establishment, if you will, in this book that's come out. What did our friend Lacey Lynn say about it? She said, definitely a book you want to be disavowed in. It was endorsed by Christianity Today. Well, touche for that. But, you know, one of the attacks we talked about last week was an attack on Pat Buchanan, who has come back to fill his old seat on the reconstituted McLaughlin Group. It's scheduled to begin airing again on PBS soon. And this article blasting Buchanan focused on his appearances as a guest on TPC, which actually made me think I am in a very... I'm reminiscing a lot this year. It's 15 years. And this attack on Buchanan brought me full circle. Of course, as you know, my career started back in 1999 and 2000 when I worked on the Buchanan campaign, which in turn led me to run as a candidate myself for the state legislature here in Tennessee in 2002. And we did well enough in that campaign to earn a call to start a radio show in 2004, where I've remained ever since. But this attack, the timing of this particular attack coincided with our third quarter fundraising drive, and I'm always looking for a special incentive to offer you in return for your contributions, which, of course, is a listener-funded show entirely. And it just all seemed to fit hand in glove. 15 years, the Buchanan attack, that goes back to my beginning. We needed an incentive, and so here it is. Here it is. Our incentive for you, our listening audience, is I have put together a CD featuring a couple of my favorite interviews with Pat Buchanan on TPC. Now, during the two interviews you'll receive, you'll hear Pat talking with us about what the future of America will look like if our historic majority is replaced. That's the first interview. The second interview, you're going to hear me and Pat talking about his best-selling book, Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War. So those are the two interviews you're going to get in return for your contribution of $100 or more between now and the end of September. But these quarterly fundraising drives, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, we're gone without the success of them. There's just no doubt about it. And I go back to 15 years on the air. It really is amazing to consider all that has taken place since this show first started in the fall of 2004. But the one constant has been that we have always been here to serve you, and you have always been there for us. And as the clouds darken over America, our people need time-tested and battle-proven leadership, and we do what we can with the abilities that God gave us to provide that without retreat, surrender, or apologies. He's talking about this attack from the Christian establishment again. I said it before. It's one thing to constantly have to ward off the attacks of the Antichrist horde and the white-hating leftists in the controlled media. But we now have to find ourselves fighting the Christians and the so-called Christians and the so-called conservatives, too. So we're being surrounded, folks. But good people like you help us remember why we're here and why we fight. We know that there are good people out there that need this voice. So that said, our crucial third quarter fundraising drive kicked off on Friday. We need you to stand with us. Can I count on you to do that? Can I count on you to do that? Everything helps. $5, $10, $25, that's our average contribution. $100 or more, though, you're going to get this CD that really takes us back more than 15 years now to my beginning with Pat Buchanan, without which there would have never been a Political Cesspool radio program. You're going to get two of Pat's best interviews here on this show, and I think the content of it is as timely now as it was when he delivered the marks originally. Of course, as you know, we take seriously the responsibility of advancing the concerns of our audience. And throughout my years in mainstream radio, I've never backed down from the elements that bring this show to life. Those elements, of course, are identity, faith, and our Southern heritage. It's that unabashed determination to stand on the foundation of truth and tradition that has made TPC so targeted by all of these people who attack us. But you make it worthwhile, folks, you really do, to know that we're serving a cause greater than ourselves and a people greater than yours truly. And to be able to serve as a voice of people who are better than me, I don't take that lightly. And I know a lot of you out there, I've had the opportunity over these years to meet so many of you that listen to this show and draw some hope or encouragement or whatever from it. And you're the best America has to offer. You're better than me. I'm lucky to be able to serve as your voice. And I'd like to continue to do that if you'd let me. So it has been an unwavering voice. I will say that. But much more than simply helping us meet our operational budget, your support encourages us by letting us know you appreciate the efforts and the sacrifices that we make. And so as long as you continue to stand with us, by God's grace, we will continue this fight, but we need you to do it. And I wouldn't ask if it wasn't needed. I think everybody who's in this movement knows you don't join the movement to pad your bottom line, but we do have to have it in order to continue the activism. It's just not free. And so please donate if you can. $100 or more, you're going to get that great CD featuring two of Pat's interviews here on TPC. But I have a happy life. You know, we put up something on the website, appropriately enough, entitled A Happy Life. I believe I posted it on Thursday at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Just a couple of recent pictures from the Edwards family photo album. A picture of my kids recently when we were on a family trip in Chattanooga, which is such a great southern town. And then also them going to a vacation Bible school at a local church. You know, this is who we are. And that's another thing. I know who I am. I know what I am. I'm not perfect. We've all fallen short of the standard given to us in the Bible. But I know what I am and I know what I'm not. And I've got an audience that supports me. I've got kids who love me. I've got a loyal and faithful wife. I am a lucky man. And I want to continue. I want to continue doing what I'm doing.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
kosher, certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Co-Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start meaning it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
We'll give you a little behind-the-scenes moment here on the show tonight. During the commercial break at the end of the second hour, Keith said, you know, if you don't really need me the third hour, I'd really like to go get some barbecue. So Keith's on his way to a local barbecue stand before they close, but we did grab him on the phone as he drives to that location for one more segment before we get to Jack Ryan tonight. And Keith, again, last hour before the holiday, before Labor Day, and I just wanted to have a little fun with it. I've got three emails I'd like to read, and then we'll get your response to them. Can we do that? That'll be a segment.
We can do it.
Okay, here's what we've got from listener Mike. Mike writes, I have been so white-pilled recently when I read the comment sections on political articles. The Democrats seem to be doing more to awaken white racial consciousness than Trump did in 2016. I can't tell you how much you and your co-host mean to me every day. So that, Keith, is that actually mirrors what you say about what the Democrats are accomplishing through all of their monkey shines.
Yeah, well, basically they have reacted in such an extreme way to Trump. You would think that Trump was the consummation of all our dreams and ambitions here on the right. Of course he's not, but the fact that the left thinks he is valuable in and of itself. And it is white-pilling people. It's making the left show just how anti-white they truly are. And it's also causing, you know, ordinary people out there listening to all this to come to the conclusion that there really might be something to this idea of, you know, an anti-white establishment in America that is working against their interests as white people because they're white people. And I hope we have more and more people getting white-pilled like the person that wrote to you there.
Well, answer this question, which comes from listener Bill. Bill writes, Dear Mr. James Edwards, I'm a big fan of your, his name is Matthew. I'm reading too far ahead. Dear Mr. Edwards, my name is Matthew, and I'm a big fan of your radio program. I've been listening since I became racially conscious in early 2017. I, like you, have Confederate heritage, and when my dad moved to New York for work, all the kids in school used to mock how we spoke and our Southern ways. So I want to thank you for giving me a space to relax and enjoy your broadcast. I'm a generation Z-er, and let me tell you, we're pretty racially conscious. My parents think like we do. They also don't like the anti-white, anti-Southern, and anti-Christian values plaguing our country, along with politically correct schools. My question to you is, what do we do about the younger generation, that is Generation Z, kids born between 2000 and 2010, kids who are still in school, who get targeted for being white?
Well, we've got to do two things. First of all, we've got to deprogram them on a daily basis. You need to not ask a vacuous question when you say, what did you learn in school today, particularly in realms like history or English literature and things like this. Find out what they're studying and what their teachers are saying and make sure that they get the correct take on it rather than the one they're getting from their teachers probably. But the next point is you're going to have to tell them to dissemble. They've got to regurgitate what the teacher says unless they want to be marked down. And if they're marked down, they're going to have bad grades. They're not going to be able to get into college. And we need these kids to go to college so that we'll have people who are credentialed to take positions of leadership in society if and when the occasion arises where we can do that. And this, like Ramsey Paul said in our second hour, there's going to be a lot of dislocation coming up in the 2020s. You know, don't hide and watch. It's going to happen. And when it does, you know, somebody needs to be there to pick up the pieces, particularly from a traditionalist viewpoint. That's what we are, and that's what we need to do. We need to prepare the younger generation to not only survive, but to thrive in this brave new world that we're facing. And, you know, we've got to keep that in mind. And, you know, we have a responsibility. God has a lot of commandments that aren't in the Ten Commandments. And chief among those was expressed to us through Noah to go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. But
well,
you don't just multiply and like frogs in a pond and let your children go on to, you know, perish for lack of knowledge. We need to give them the knowledge they need in order to successfully navigate life.
The listener, Matthew, is right. These kids are going to be targeted for being white. And my answer to that would be, as a father, your father as well, Keith, and have more experience at it than me. But I would say, obviously, love your children. The most important work you do is within the walls of your home. My wife actually has a sign, a decorative sign that we have in our den to that effect. And leadership begins at home. Love your kids, bring them up, and spend time with them. And that will inoculate them to a large degree, having a very involved father and very involved family. Very quickly, we're going to have to race to get this one in. This comes from listener Patrick in New York. Just wanted to say hi, he writes. I still catch your show, although sometimes I'm a day or two behind being so darn busy in life raising six kids and running a business that doesn't slow down. I really enjoyed the Brother Nathaniel episode. Find him to be interesting and entertaining in a quirky, unique sort of way, as well as informative in including bringing historical and biblical points of view. He is intelligent and educated. Always learn a lot when he's on your show. And you and Keith gave great questions. Glad you held him over into the final hour that night. Had to laugh when Sonny Thomas said that he referred to only the Northeast as true Yankees and himself a Buckeye. I agree with his sentiments about the Northeast in many ways, but I have to tell you, and I know you realize this, that some of us are more Southern and Confederate at heart than those who were born and raised in the South. I believe a few shows ago, you gave us a subtle shout-out when you stated that there are good folks up in the New York, New Jersey area, and you'd rather be in a foxhole with some of us than some of those in the South. You better believe it, buddy. Felt like you were talking through the radio directly to my heart. I will confirm your comment as we would fight shoulder to shoulder with our Southern brothers as well. This is again from a listener in New York. It's not necessary. It's not necessarily where you came from, but what ideology, culture, heritage, bloodlines, etc., that we all share. That is our bond, and to death do us part. Lastly, the biggest reason of why I like your show more than others and listening and learning about your take on current and historical events is your show's steadfastness to the defense of our culture with no apologies and no cucking. I admire and respect that about TPC and despise that about politicians and media pundits who constantly apologize. Hi to Keith, and that's from Patrick up in New York. Keith, your response to that?
Well, you know, you came very close to just directly addressing what his objections are when you said, you know, what you said earlier in the program tonight, what has mainstream conservatism conserved? You went down a laundry list of issues that they supposed to oppose, but wound up basically acquiescing to. For example, gay marriage was in the 90s a punchline to a joke, and it became the law of the land by 2015, and all the churches that were lined up to denounce it have suddenly lost their voice. They have nothing to say about it. There has to be someone that is steadfast. There has to be people who are under no illusions about what is right and what is wrong. And, of course, the source of that is the Bible. It's not the church. Heaven knows denominations have cucked in and caved in as much as any other institution in America. And people say, well, where do you find true Christian faith nowadays? And I say, between the covers of the original King James Bible.
All right, well, we want to thank Matthew, and we want to thank Patrick, and we want to thank everybody who writes in. And we were thankful to have a few minutes tonight to get a few of those out. We'll be right back. Thank you, Keith. Enjoy that barbecue. We got Jack Ryan coming up next.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Vice President Mike Pence says they've deployed the full resources of the federal government to assist West Texas following a mass murder in the Midland-Odessa area.
The president spoke to the Attorney General. FBI is already assisting local law enforcement in the investigation going forward.
At least five people are dead, including the murderer and 21 others wounded that were taken to a local hospital. Delray Beach, Florida Mayor Shelley Petrolia says her city is prepared as Hurricane Dorian strengthens.
People are participating, picking up sandbags to be able to protect their homes and also making sure that the garbage and things that accumulates around houses have been put up so that we don't have any problems with projectiles if this storm hits.
The mayor also says people should not let their guard down in Florida despite the storm's new projections, which have it going further north towards the Carolinas. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who've agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
After changes in the statute of limitations laws, a number of court battles are in store for the Boy Scouts of America. With the story, here's USA Radio Network's John Hunt.
The Boy Scouts of America are facing a threat from a growing wave of lawsuits over decades of allegations of sexual abuse. The Scouts have been sued in multiple states in recent months by purported abuse victims, including plaintiffs taking advantage of a new state law or court decisions that are now allowing suits previously barred because of the age of the allegation. And even more litigation is on the way. A lawyer representing over 150 people who say they were abused as Boy Scouts is planning a suit in New Jersey as soon as the state's new civil statute of limitations takes effect December 1st.
In a tweet by the president on Saturday, he says he's suing several people for breaking confidentiality agreements. The president says he's suing former political aide Omarosa Manigault Newman for giving out too many details regarding policy in her latest book. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Here I stand, head in hand, turn my face to the wall. If she's gone, I can't go on, feeling 2 foot small. Everywhere people stare, each and every day, I can see them laugh at me, and I hear them say, hey, you've got to hide your love away. Hey, you've got to hide your love away. How can
Well, when Ramsey Paul was on the show in the second hour, I kept saying we were going to relax a little bit. It's a holiday show, but we kept getting into serious content. I bet we can relax these last two segments before Labor Day with Jack Ryan. Jack, how are you tonight?
I'm doing just great. It's a beautiful Midwestern. They used to call it Indian summer. I guess that's politically incorrect to say that, but it's cool. It's my favorite time of year. You still get the sun. It's cooled down a little bit. You live in a big city. The teenage hoodlums are in school. They might just be babysitting, but you can ride public transportation without getting attacked and things like that. So I love the time. It's beautiful and my favorite time of year.
Really? Well, you know, I do like it a lot better than the springtime. The springtime, I just know that miserable heat is around the corner. Around this time of year, you get in the early, late summer, early fall, you know, it's all good climate, good weather. Well, not for you up there in Chicago. I guess it's a little different down here in the Mid-South, but in any event, I do like this time of year, too. I really like the fall.
Corn, if you get farmers market, just great food. Really, and then Midwestern autumn and New England autumns are just, it's the most beautiful time of year. So, yeah, I love it. So things are beautiful tonight. Hope things are good down in Dixie.
They are. Thank you for saying that. A little, we'll impart a little trivial knowledge. So you hear the term dog days of summer and Indian summer, you know, but I think a lot of time you hear these terms, you don't really, you understand what they are, but you don't know really where the meaning came from. Of course, dog days of summer, we talked about that recently, is when it just gets so hot and miserable. We came through the dog days of summer that even dogs won't leave the porch. Indian summer is, of course, a period. I mean, it's defined as being a period of unseasonably warm, dry weather that that occurs late into the fall. It was actually one of the last times the Indians would go out for a big hunt before the winter, is where the Indian part of it comes into. So anyway, let's talk about those recommendations. And I told you we're going to kind of continue on a little bit with how we ended the last show. I thought that would just be a fun way to end it before the holiday. And but let's first let you have your say.
Okay. Well, before I go for my book and movie recommendations, I just want to comment on my lead-in song. This is the song "You Got to Hide Your Love Away." It's by a very obscure British group. I think some kind of one-hit wonders, the Beatles, Bedbug Beatles, or something like that. So that was the song. You got to hide your love away. But it's a beautiful song, and I think it's very apropos for our people that we love our history, we love our people. But right now, you can lose your job just for loving your own people. So that's really sort of my message to a lot of our listeners, that, I mean, it's sad that it is the case, but just loving your own people and loving your own heritage and things like that. There's certain times, and it sort of came upon us in a rush, but we sort of have to hide our love away. Okay, so my book and movie recommendations. My book recommendation is, it's one book, My Antony by Willa Cather, but I'm going to recommend the whole author, Willa Cather, and she's a unique woman writer in that her novels are set in the Nebraska, the plains, immigrant communities and the like. And it's, her books are very good, and her politics are very good. She had to live in New York City for a lot of times. That's where the publishing world was. But I think that if you read the books, they're very romantic and they're realistic about immigrant communities, European immigrant communities living in places like Nebraska, and there's great history and great people and that went out into these places. So I think she's the greatest Midwestern Plains writer, Willa Cather, My Antonia. And then my movie recommendation, it's one of these ESPN 30 for 30 documentaries of miracles and men. And these documentaries are about sports, and our people are obsessed with sports and things like that. And it's the story of the greatest upset patriotic victory of our people when some college all-stars defeated the Soviet Russian team in 1980 at Lake Placid. I think it's one of the greatest sports upsets of all time. And a lot of it's, but it's a different view that it presents the Russian-Soviet sort of view on that. And I remember the time we were so desperate for some patriotic victories after the Jimmy Carter era, and we came out, and it just, the upset, and it was an incredible one. But this one shows the perspective of the Russian-Soviet teams, which were, in my opinion, I think in a lot of other opinions, the greatest hockey teams of all time. They just dominated hockey through the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and they would play the NHL All-Star Canadian teams and play them to, you know, equal or beat them. And I feel that they played just a very disciplined, good European style of hockey. It was this one terrible day that they had. And I look back, yeah, and I look into like in history, but these Russian Soviet people were our people, and they were played, and they played a very disciplined, good one. They weren't commercial. They just weren't out to make the most money. And it was like a bad night for the greatest European sports team ever. And it's just a great story. You get 30 for 30, you get the personalities behind just the event. And so I highly recommend this documentary of Miracles and Men, ESPN 30 for 30.
All right, yeah, of course. And there was a good movie starring Kurt Russell, who played the coach of that team. I believe the movie is just simply called Miracle. I believe it may have been a Disney movie. Came out about the middle part of the last decade, mid-2000s. And it's a good movie. That is a good story. I mean, yeah, that's a good story. Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I guess you can politicize anything, but we can find some inspiration. Not everything. You have to live a balanced life. That's what I'm driving at.
Sure. I mean,
you have to live a balanced life. Not everything can be, you know, no soldier stays on the front line all day, every day throughout his life. You have to have a balance of political activism and family time. And, you know, it'd be best if it was rooted in the Christian faith, and you know, you're spending time at church, but we can also enjoy some of the things that are put out by society, like this movie Miracle, and enjoy songs that don't necessarily have a political meaning that reinforces our worldview, but it's just, you know, good songs. You know, I always talk about how much I love 50s and 60s pop music. I just think there was just a, yeah, uplifting. Now, I like the bubblegum pop. I know you don't like some of that stuff. You like some of the harder stuff.
No, I mean, some of it's there, but I like a lot of it. But, yeah, just promoting good music and apolitical music. You don't want to have music.
Yeah, right. I mean, not everything we say and do has to be
music.
Tethered.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, tethered to the
yeah.
Right. Well, you know, we can go out and eat something and it not necessarily have a political message. I mean, you can do things like that. You can live normal lives. Yeah. I think a part of a healthy life is time spent advocating for your extended family and doing the things that we do here. But yes, you can find simple pleasures in life that have nothing to do with this cause. And that's actually one of the things I wanted to talk about when we come back in the next segment, our last segment before Labor Day. And I'm going to try to make a cogent point. And the cogent point is the left can never find anything good or objectively positive to say about any of their rivals. You know, for instance, if it's the president, there's nothing Donald Trump has ever said, done, or thought that they can praise him for, because they oppose what they think are his politics. Pat Buchanan was attacked in an article recently for something he said decades ago, saying, yes, you could say Hitler was an anti-Semite and a racist, but he was also a man of courage. Well, you know, oh, look, we knew he was a Nazi because he said Hitler was courageous. Well, I mean, you can't be this and that. I mean, you know, it's just like me, you know, all of the things we've ever read about the political cesspool. They could take me to task if they want to, but they can't say anything objective like, well, you know, Edwards does spend time with his family. He is in church. No, I mean, but I don't want us to be like that. And this is the point, Jack. I don't want us to be like our enemies, like these godless, humorless drones. I can say, you know what? I might not agree with this guy on anything politically, but he made good music. I like some of his songs. And I'm going to tell you about that when we come back. And we will further differentiate ourselves from the left. But I'd also like to talk to Jack about how music, like the rest of society, has just totally deteriorated since that era of the 50s and 60s. We'll be right back.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Speaking with Jack in that last segment was, we don't have to be humorless. We can maintain our humanity and our ability to think objectively. And politics aside, we can give credit where credit is due. We will not be like those who hate us. And we had a pretty fun segment at the end of last week's show. We were doing a little Battle of the Bands, a little Motown. I believe it was between Gladys Knight, the Pips, and a song from the Temptations, and Keith and Jack won the day. My candidate didn't win. But here's the thing. I also want to tie this into, Jack, just how society continues to deteriorate on all fronts. And I've got a couple of songs here and some points that I'd like to make, and then you can react to that or tell me what you think, and if you agree with me, if I'm way out in the weeds or whatever. But now, to me, the best song that ever came out of Motown was this song by Smokey Robinson. Let's take a quick listen. I'll tell you why I'm playing it. Okay, so that's The Tears of a Clown. That is a great song. I've always liked that song. But here's what's interesting about that song. So this is Smokey Robinson, black man, black songwriter for Motown. He said he drew his inspiration when he wrote that song from the European opera Pagliacci, which is about clowns who hide their hurt and anger behind empty smiles. So this Italian opera. I just found that interesting. So there you have this. I mean, could you imagine a black entertainer today saying, you know, I draw my inspiration from this European opera or anything like that? I mean, it just, again, the difference between the culture then and the wholesomeness of what was then popular black music compared to what we saw at the VMAs here recently. We talked about Taylor Swift and all of the degeneracy that she has come to represent now. But you also had the contemporary black entertainers going out there in their underwear and just grinding half naked and obese. I mean, it's just disgusting. It's aesthetically repulsive. It's just repulsive by any standard of measurement, Jack.
Well, I have to agree that Smokey Robinson's Tears of the Crown is one of the greatest Motown songs of all time. I like the whole genre of Motown in it. That was the vision of Barry Gordy. But I also like, there was a great, I'm interested in a lot of British music. And they had a band I really liked, the English Beat, that did a ska version. It's like reggae, but it'd take me a long time to explain ska, but they did an excellent version of Tears of a Clown. And that song, it's beautiful, and it's got a story, again, about a clown.
Yes.
that he does. And it's a real story that tells about an individual. It doesn't have politics. It's not pushing, like, our politics. It's apolitical. It's just about regular people, but it's beautiful music. It's well written, and wow, Motown was so good. So I like a lot of Black American, Black British, West Indian popular music from the '60s up until the early '80s. I love that '70s R&B music, and some of them have some rough themes, urban themes like that. But the music is just great. It's very good.
I was just going to say I get passionate about this because I love this music. Now, my favorite singers would probably be, you know, certainly, you know, the white acts from that time. But to say that, you know, I don't know what Smokey Robinson's politics are, but I mean, I doubt that they would match up with us on many levels. But that's okay, because this is still a great song. We can disagree on politics and still like the music. Right. And you're right. Anybody can find something. You know, the best thing about music is we can find a way, when you can find a way to relate to a good song and apply it to something that maybe you've gone through in life, sure. Then you become invested in it. But the music was, the lyrics were well written and they were so well produced. And you hear it here in this song that featured both Diana Ross and the Supremes. Listen to the background as this music begins. I mean, it is truly symphonic. You're talking about classic orchestra music put into what was then pop music, and let's take a listen to this one. We're just going to listen to the opening of it because again, it just goes to show that back then, this music was great. You would never find this from the leading black artist, really even the white artist today. But listen to how this one begins. Just absolutely beautiful instruments. Music back then was about relationships. Predominantly, it was about relationships. It wasn't pushing this degenerate, evil, satanic narrative that we see. It was just about relationships. It was about boys and girls, something that everybody could understand. And again, we talk about the genius of Phil Spector musically. I mean, this was a Jewish music producer who was a totally left wing. He was obviously he's in prison for murder. But even he talked about, you know, no matter how the people sang, he was going to, he called his music the Wall of Sound. He said every song, even if it didn't have the best vocals, it was going to be a gold or a platinum record, because he was going to make it a little symphony for the kiddies, and he was just going to fill it with so many of these orchestra type instruments that it was just going to make it something that people wanted to buy, because he knew there was something eternal in that European music, that European style music, and he put it into it, applied it to pop music, and he was one of the best record producers that ever lived.
Right. Well, I would just have to say that you never want to be in the position of just being anti. And if you hear really bad music, bad TV shows, bad movies, which we certainly have, you don't want to fall in that one. Like, we don't want to be like the Taliban or some kind of religious one to say that music and all dancing is bad and we're going to ban it. No, the alternative to bad music, bad movies, is good music. It's good in there. And we never want to have our enemies get control of all artists and all music. And music is a part of our life. It's always been a part of European-American history and culture. And that's, you know, and you can honor and respect other cultures who have good music, too. And we definitely are honoring the great black American musicians or a great black American sports person, great boxers or things like that. The boxers of the late 60s or 70s, the black Americans were tremendous. But now, the middle and heavier weight of boxing is dominated by white British and European boxers. And so, hey, let's celebrate our own guys. Let's cheer for our own people. And why not? So that's my opinion. There's always been negativity. There's always been criminals and communists and perverts and things like that. Yeah, maybe there's more now than there was at other times, but that doesn't mean that we're going to give in and we're going to stop promoting good music. I'm not certainly going to do that, and I know you're not either.
No, we're not, and I'm always honest. If one thing I am is honest, and I'm always honest with my audience, and like I said, we don't have to be like the left and say that everything that comes from those who don't share our political opinions is wrong or bad, and I just thought this last segment before Labor Day, I'd been thinking about it ever since last week when we kind of played some of those things. I was just thinking, you know, that music was just really wholesome, and that, you know, there was nothing bad
good
about it. But of course,
it wasn't goody-two-shoes. It wasn't much of the 50s Nat King Cole, where they make people wear sweaters and do violins, and that's why people say I'm going to do rock and roll, or they start using marijuana and do heavy metal or something. You can't make it too. A lot of the Motown ones, they got a little edgier, and so it was soulful, good music, but they would do real themes. So that's
I don't know how they.
Yeah.
I just don't know how they went from Smokey Robinson to this stuff we saw at the VMAs, but in any event, here's one that's pretty appropriate, though, Jack, with only seconds remaining in our last show of the month of August. How about this one?
I'll be alone each and every night while you're away. Don't forget to write. Bye-bye, so long.
there you have it, folks. We'll see you in September. We'll see you next week. It'll be September for Jack Ryan, Keith Alexander, our guest tonight, Ramsey Paul. I'm James Edwards. Happy Labor Day. Stay clear of Hurricane Dorian, folks. And we'll talk to you next week. See you in September, Jack. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.